Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Back here in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Well, I'm back because there was no need to stay. I want to get into that a little bit. We are brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. And they have water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Sean, good to be back with you.
Always a pleasure, sir. Hey there, stranger. Great to be connected with you as we, you know, go through the tournaments this weekend. And, of course, about 7 or so Sunday night, we'll find out all 68 are ready to go for March Madness for next week.
Well, at least we know Bucknell's in. That's the big one. And to play that brilliantly with everything on the line, we talked about about them playing against Lehigh, and that in the clutch this was the big one. Well, in the clutch it was the big one, and they played like it. It really was a brilliant performance by them to get in. They will be a very dangerous cover for somebody along the way in this tournament. Very dangerous. And they could be a 13 or a 14 going into this. 14, they would get a 3. 13, they would get a 4. If they were to get to a 12 with their record, they'd get a 5. So, just some things to think about. But they are in safe and sound with no issues whatsoever. Penn State beat Nebraska, lost, obviously, to Michigan State yesterday. Tom Izzo said, look, it's the best we've played. Okay. Well, that's fine. And it was not the best Penn State's played by a wide margin. So, let's take a quick look at Penn State here for a moment. Dick Girardi and I came up with the word, and it's actually he said it first, and I thought it was exactly the right way to phrase it. It was a season unfulfilled. I think everyone went in with some expectations. Now, I said that when I talked to groups, I thought they'd win 15 to 18 games, right around there. Well, they got the 15, but I was thinking more toward the 18 part, where they could pick up a couple more wins this season over last season. So there was no 20-game season in my mind. There was no NCAA tournament deal in my mind. But I did think they could maybe get to that upper end of 17 or 18 and maybe make the NIT. So a season unfulfilled for Penn State. Moving forward, what do they need? Well, moving forward, they need to get a couple more players into the program. They'll get one inside in Satchel Pierce. He's already in the program. Okay, so that's not an issue. I mean, so they've got that part in the program. What they need is another shooter somewhere, and I'm not just thinking recruiting. I'm thinking, look, take a look at the waiver wire and see what kind of graduate transfers are out there. I mentioned the name just as an example, Akeem Springs, for Minnesota, is playing right now. Graduate transfer, came in, gave them an outside look they did not have before, and was a big plus for them this year. Big plus. Was he the star of the team? No, Mason's the star of the team. Murphy is probably the best all-around player on the team. Lynch is a shot blocker, but it gave them an element. See, and that's the key. You get an element out of this, and that's what you're looking at. Is there another element? They need that. The other part they need, a lot of people have talked about about Penn State's offense, which averaged about 72 points a game. They were 20 or better, 20 times this year, some number like that. But what they need offensively is actually more lane integrity. I mean, that's what they really need, more lane integrity. Like, what does that mean? All right, let's do this in football terms for you. In football terms, you have... every time we talk about covering a punt, covering a kickoff, about players, quote, staying in their lanes. When you run routes, you have to stay in your lanes. Okay. Well, that's what this team needs to do. And I'll give you a good example. This is one simple play that I can tell you about. Penn State runs that gate play where they take two forwards, usually Watkins and Stevens, set up just inside the two elbows, and then fire Shep Garner through it. And the play has had success many times. Now, to the credit of Michigan State, excellent scouting. Penn State opened the second half of that play yesterday. They scouted it and had it. I mean, that's to their credit. And that's what happens. I mean, you do a lot of Penn State scouts, you know, everything too. But he runs it with, at least one of the reasons you run it with him, lane integrity. When Peyton Banks runs it, how often have you heard me talk about, in football, about receivers rounding routes and how easy they are to cover because they round routes? And Peyton Banks, when he runs it, rounds it, and he becomes so easy to cover. See, that's what I'm talking about, lane integrity. Lane integrity includes if Tony Carr is going to drive it down the lane, then Lamar Stevens has to flip himself to the opposite side as an option. So those are certain things offensively they're going to have to clean up moving forward offensively. But I think they're going to have to get another player into the mix here that is a shooter, or they're going to have to get maybe a couple of more players into the mix here. Now, how they achieve that, that's up to them as to how they achieve that. I'm not going to get into how they might achieve that because I don't know. I'm just telling you what I think they need. I think going forward with the exact same group in the next year, in my opinion, they'll win a few more games just on pure experience, and they'll win some of those close games because of pure experience, but I think they need to make a couple of roster adjustments. The core group, Reeves, Watkins, Carr, Stevens, I'll include Bostic in that, because I think Bostic's a winning player. He's not, he's not a great shooter or anything like that. But Bostic, he'll help them. Obviously, Garner, Banks, you'll look at that more, so forth, and then Pierce. But you've got to take a look at the rest of the roster to see what you can do with it. Now, this is college basketball. This is how it works. And I think they need at least one and possibly a couple more players in the mix to make a big difference, because you want to get next year to the upper half of the conference. You want to get into the top seven if possible. Even the top eight works. Look at Michigan this year. Michigan ended up being the eighth seed. Well, Michigan's going to the NCAA tournament. Now, Iowa was the seven. Iowa's not going to go. So you want to get yourself into that upper half, the top seven. You get yourself to the top seven, you put yourself in a great spot moving forward. But that's what you have to do. You have to get yourself in this conference into the upper half. Because schedule-wise, I mean, their schedule is top 25. Victory-wise, I mean, you know, they ended up with seven top 100 wins. Those are all elements that are fine. I mean, but you've got to win more games. In other words, if you sit there and say, you know, say for example, Penn State on this particular day is a, oh, pick a number. Let's go. Where they play 33 games. If they're 19-14, if Penn State, that's four more wins. If they're 19-14 with an 18 strength of schedule, and that's seven top 100 wins, probably would have included a couple more to get to this record. You'd have nine top 100 wins. You're in. I mean, Penn State was under 500 with seven top 100 wins this year. If they got the 9 and won maybe 19 games and are 19-14, then they're going to be in.
What seed would you think they would be? Would it be a double-digit seed?
Oh, I don't know. It wouldn't really matter.
Yeah.
It wouldn't really matter. Once you're in, you're in. I'm just telling you what I think they need to change things over. One, if, you know, whatever they do, one has to be a shooter. No matter what. Even if it's just one, it has to be a shooter. There's no getting around it. It has to be. And you know, because you've got to be able to open the floor. You've already got finishers inside like Watkins and Reeves. Now let's get to the next part. The next part is this. It's very hard for me to look at Reeves, Watkins, and Lamar Stevens and see 45.8% in twos. Statistically, that doesn't work. You've got to be at least 50 in that spot. Take a look at Michigan State. Michigan State, and I made this comparison yesterday in the postgame. I said, look, Michigan State is a team, you know, despite their ups and downs of the year, including a loss to Penn State, but 52.8% in twos. And part of that's Ward. And you'll see next year Penn State will run more plays next year for Watkins inside. Started seeing that in the Nebraska game. But Penn State must finish inside. And that is the youth and experience, where suddenly you're facing bigger, quicker guys than in high school, and now you feel you have to hurry around the basket. This is not a question of having shots blocked. I could care less if you get your shot blocked. Just keep going. And these guys, I don't think they care if they get their shot blocked, but they're always trying to seem like they're avoiding a shot block. And for whatever reason, they can't hit layups. They miss at least three layups a game. That's 6 points. That's 6 points a game that you're missing on layups. So instead of 72, you're averaging 78 if you convert it. John Wooden always said, be quick, but don't hurry. Penn State has a tendency, I think because of youth, to hurry. And it shows up in two areas. Sometimes they're chasing ghosts around the bucket that aren't there. You got to realize what team has shot blockers and which ones don't. Michigan State doesn't have shot blockers, for goodness sakes. Nebraska didn't. They attacked it downhill all day. It was no issue. But they had a tendency at times to miss layups because they chase ghosts. You have to know that a team has a shot blocker or not. And also, an area I did not like with this team this year is that when they fell behind quickly in games, they tried to make 10-point plays. You have to be patient. How often we talk about running backs being patient? You know, as they get older, they get patient. And that's the thing, you know, you watch Barkley now. Barkley, even after 2 years, was a much more patient running back this past season than he was his freshman season. Age does do that, but as a team, they have to be patient. Realize, look, got a lot of time. Run your stuff. Run some good sets. Get some stops. And that's, in the end, is going to be another part of the identity next year. They have to be able next year to be a better defensive team. They've got to be able to knock 4 to 5 points a game off the season average. All right, come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Look at it at this point. I think Carr is going to be a really good player before it's all said and done. Stevens is going to be a really good player before it's all said and done. Watkins, Reeves, same thing. Now, I'm watching Purdue play Michigan today. Who stepped up for Michigan in the game? Who stepped up? I've talked about this all year. Zach Irvin, Derek Walton. Will you see Zach Irvin and Derek Walton against Penn State next year? No. Not because they're leaving early. Okay? You won't see them next year because they're graduating. They happen to be seniors. It's amazing what they do at this time of the year, how they step up with that sense of urgency. Penn State didn't have one of those, but next year they will. And they're going to have to produce. They're going to have to produce. Garner and Banks are going to have to be consistent. And if they happen to bring in a grad transfer, if that happens, that person's going to have to produce. It's amazing what the, if you can get an outside shooter, how much better your inside game becomes, because now you can spread the floor. I mean, the floor spacing becomes completely different. And when I look at Penn State, I think that's something that along the way they need. They'll get Pierce in it. Pierce will help. Pierce actually might help a little more offensively than defensively, to be honest with you. And Penn State does need, by the way, to be a better defensive team. There's no getting around it. No getting around it. I mean, they do need that. And when they have gone out and they played good defense, it has made a big difference. I mean, that's what won the game for them on Wednesday. Their defense won the game for them. I think out of 45 minutes, they played 42 minutes of really good defense. Offensively, they probably played 35 minutes of really good offense and 10 bad minutes of offense. And the 10 bad minutes were a stretch at in the first half. No, I'd say from about the 6-minute mark down to about the 3-minute mark, and then the last 5 minutes of regulation. Then they reverted back, played great defense, a really good offense, and closed the game out in overtime. So, all right, more coming up. Your questions and comments at 800-795-9565.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, wine coolers, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is absolutely second to none. Love the dills, love the barrels, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Time now for This Day in Sports History. Then Steve Williams will join us from Hershey. 1920, Joe Malone of the Quebec Bulldogs scored six goals in a game against the Ottawa Senators. In 1941, the Brooklyn Dodgers announced that their players would begin wearing batting helmets during the 1941 season. This was in response to Don Zimmer getting beaned. 1993, Sherry Davis became the first woman to be a PA announcer for a Major League Baseball team. She became the public address announcer for the San Francisco Giants. In 2002, ESPN aired A Season on the Brink. It was its first original motion picture by ESPN, the movie about Bobby Knight. In fact, talked with John Feinstein yesterday, as a matter of fact. I like John a lot, as a matter of fact. Got to know him through Dick Girardi and then through golf. Great guy. 2004, Todd Bertuzzi. Vancouver Canucks held a press conference to apologize for hitting Steve Moore of the Colorado Avalanche in the side of the head from behind and driving his head into the ice in the game March 8th. Moore landed face first with Bertuzzi on top of him. Moore suffered a broken neck, a concussion, deep cuts. On March 11th, the NHL suspended Bertuzzi for the remainder of the regular season, playoffs, and announced his eligibility would be assessed the following season and would take into account Moore's health and the progression of his recovery. That is This Day in Sports History. Off to Hershey now and Steve Williams. Steve, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Steve. It's great to be here.
All right, give me the idea of the progress of local wrestlers so everybody can stay up to date.
Well, what we've got right now, we're in the middle of the quarterfinal round for the AAA wrestlers, the bigger schools, and just one wrestler from our area, and that's Kate Balestrini. Kate had a great match last night with trailing late in the third period, got an escape and a takedown, took the kid right to his back and won. It was a great win for a freshman in his first match, but boy, he ran into a real buzzsaw here this afternoon. Sam Hilgus of Northampton, also a freshman, and Hilgus just trying to pick him apart, ended up beating Cade by the score of 10-0. So Cade drops into the consolation bracket. Nothing to worry about there. He's been wrestling very well, but just a kid like Hilgus, man, I'll tell you what, he was an impressive wrestler.
Well, give me an idea of a couple of other locals you're keeping your eye on as this progresses forward.
Well, that would be in the AA level, and it's really the kids from Southern Columbia right now. They've got three guys in the semifinals this evening. I didn't look at the team score lately, but they were right on top of the heat as far as team score went. They've got two legitimate shots, I think, at state championship. Gage Garcia, the freshman at 150 pounds, he's got a real tough draw here tonight. But if he gets into the finals, look for him to win that. So they could win as many as three. I would expect them to have at least two in the final.
Give me an idea, Steve. You've done this for years. You've been this there for years. What is your opinion of the level of wrestling you're watching right now?
Well, the level of wrestling, I believe, is higher than it's ever been, but they're not as deep at a lot of the weight. I mean, we are seeing some incredible wrestlers here. Sean Lee, who is going for his fourth state championship, has never been beaten in high school, has already committed to Iowa. We just saw him here. We finished up his match in a little over 2 minutes today. The technique that these kids are using is the technique they were using in college just a few years ago, and it's crept into the high school ranks very quickly. So it's a very high level of wrestling. Unfortunately, it maybe doesn't go as deep as it used to.
There's been a lot of talk that there are fewer and fewer kids wrestling in JV, which may be filtering to varsity, where there are a lot of forfeits during the course. Now, of course, there are more weight classes, too. Have you seen that? I don't mean there, but I mean during the season.
Oh, yes, absolutely during the season. We had a dual meet this year that lasted only 20 minutes. You know, some of these teams are coming in with only five or six kids in the roster. And we're seeing it not only in wrestling, but in all the sports. Football, you know, soccer, basketball, where it's just not the participation. And, you know, there's some rethinking going on as far as how those dual meet type things are contested anymore. But, you know, once you get down to this level, it's the same as what it was. I mean, there's a lot of guys walking around here with college sweaters on, you know, looking for some talent for the next couple of years. That's the way it is. You know, they used to have the NCAAs and the PIAA state championship run the same weekend. A couple of years ago, they separated them by a week to give some of those college coaches a chance to come in here and, you know, do a little gleaning of some talent.
Yeah, it's really interesting what the participation numbers are, because, and I'm not talking about wrestling. I think you made a great point that it's across the board, and that's a big issue right now moving forward. How do you get and keep young people interested?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, a couple of years ago, I tried to work with, you know, some of our wrestling coaches trying to get kids to make that transition from an elementary to a junior high to a high school, where we paired up younger kids with some of the high school kids to try and, you know, try and keep them interested. But, you know, the other part of kids these days, they're not dumb. They know the kind of work that has to go into it, and, you know, they're determining whether they want to do it. It's more of a specialized thing with any sport anymore, and you've got to work at it pretty much all year long, and some kids just don't want to do that.
Wow. Okay, so one more time, how about just a quick recap as to what's going on down there, Steve?
Well, again, we're, you know, the people down here from the Shikellamy, they're excited about what they saw with Kate Balestrini. He's the first freshman that's been down here since the early 2000s, won his first match, lost the second one. You know, we're looking for him to fight back. If he wins two more in the consolation bracket, he's going to medal. That'll be the first Shikellamy wrestler in a while to get a medal down here. So that's kind of been the buzz, really, with the people that I'm hanging out with. Now, last night we did have a bunch of fans from Southern Columbia come and invade the Shikellamy wrestling room, and we had some very spirited discussions on it, too. But, you know, all in great fun. You know, people just absolutely love the sport.
And how's the attendance been, by the way?
It's about normal. I mean, the attendance will be noticeably more this evening. Not too bad right now for the double A's. They tend to get more in Friday afternoon, but, you know, with people taking off maybe a half day Friday, they'll come down to watch the double A quarters. They'll watch the triple A quarters. The double A semis will be tonight, and then they'll hang around, you know, for all the wrestling tomorrow. So the attendance right now is a lot better than it was yesterday, but that's kind of the way it usually goes.
Right, yeah. You go from Thursday to Friday.
Yeah.
Steve, thanks so much. Appreciate the update and the talk.
Hey, thank you very much, Steve. Good to talk to you again.
Same here. Steve Williams down at the Giant Center in Hershey. As we get you up to date on what's going on with the PIAA Wrestling Championships. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And stop down there tonight and stock up for the weekend at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Michigan beat Purdue today. But again, there's the difference. Once again, when you get seniors, what it can be at this time of the year. And again, Zach Ervin and Derek Walton provided the big shots. And I've mentioned a couple times about Purdue. A couple things about Purdue. One is I'm not enamored with their point guard play, and it came into play again in this game. And I think it hurt them in this game, without question. And then P.J. Thompson missed a couple of critical free throws down the end. I mean, you're the point guard. You have to do that. You're the one handling the ball. Also, it did not help that one of their more consistent players, Dakota Mathias, was what, 1-for-8, 1-for-9 from the field? That hurts. They will, of course, have coming up Selection Sunday. They're cutting it back to 90 minutes. 90 minutes they're cutting it back to. Really? Cut it back to a half an hour. It doesn't take that long to do it. I realize that you feel you can sell certain things, but I think one of the problems we're having with televised sports is they're taking stuff that is simple and dragging it out so long that I find that to be an issue. Oh, we're going to drop it back. Okay, let's go to Randy in Danville. Hi, Randy. How are you today? Hi, Randy.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Hey, my concern with the basketball program is the three freshmen that start are actually redshirt freshmen, I believe, aren't they?
No. Stevens and Carr are true freshmen, and Watkins is a redshirt freshman.
Okay. Well, a lot of coaches, I think, feel that freshmen at this point of the season, when you get into the championship, are really playing as early sophomores. And they just don't seem to be playing well together. Yesterday, they're down 20-some points with 7 minutes to go, and they're bringing the ball down the court like they're winning the game. And then they get over half court, and I counted 7 times in the second half where 3 passes were made after they crossed half court, and they all went further away from the basket, and they weren't penetrating, and they don't seem to have – they don't create passing lanes. I don't know if Pat doesn't teach that. But
no, he does. No, he does. And they're not – that's one thing about – in February, all three of those guys played pretty well. I think when it turned into March, I think they did a couple of things where – You wonder to that point about their legs. But there are a couple guys that don't have very good lane integrity. Fair enough. I would think that, you know, I gave the example of Peyton Banks. Doesn't have very good lane integrity. And there are times, for example, where Tony Carr has to judge where Lamar Stevens is, and Lamar has to flip himself to the other side. But then Tony has to take a lane, and the reason that you move Lamar over is that now you're not clogging up that area. But also, if then Tony gets doubled, he can then find Lamar on the back side of that, on the weak side. And every once in a while, they get themselves in the wrong spot. And Pat was trying to make a point of that to them in shoot-around yesterday about, look, Lamar, you've got to flip yourself over to this side when Tony goes this way. So, I mean, there's still a lot of teaching that goes on at this point, but they've got to be able to execute that stuff. And above all, Randy, they have to make layups. They're missing like 3 layups a game. That's 6 points a game, Randy. What's the difference 6 points a game makes?
Oh, especially, you know, it creates a run that you can build on in a 3-minute period. You get back in the game, and they did that earlier in the year. But I do see where Gardner just didn't seem to improve this year.
I agree.
guys being in a place they're not there, and the past doesn't even get close to them. But they played so well, like you said, in February, and then first they had a tough, schedule the rest of the way. That's that whole league is a tough schedule. But I just hope they start playing. I hope they play over the summer together, because that'll help them a lot. Do they stay around campus? Or
yes, they do. They will stay around campus. Some of them may take the first summer session off. That's May into early June, but they're all back here like June 27th or something like that. And the coaches can do a little bit more work with them now under the rules than they could in the past. And that'll be an important time. And to be honest with you, Randy, I think they need to spend actually more time working on their defensive concepts. And I talked to Pat about this. I said, your identity is rebounding in defense. So when you hold teams under 70, you're undefeated. So when you hold teams under 40%, you're 9-1. Said you're 11-0 when you hold them under 70. I said, what does that tell you about what that means? And I mean, I told Pat that straight out.
Yeah. Well, and that defense creates a lot of transition on offense. That
So correct.
Pat isn't how big he is. He's going to be a force. If they can quit missing the layups. Thanks a lot for your
time. Yeah. Remember, Randy, the old John Wooden saying, okay, be quick, but don't hurry. These kids hurried.
Yeah. Right?
Be quick, but don't hurry. These kids hurried. That's why they miss layups.
Yeah. Well, let's hope for next year, huh?
Well, I know I've been saying that for 35 years, but I'll keep saying it, because I do see a foundation of talent here moving forward that I haven't seen as a foundation of talent this young in a long time. I've seen a foundation of talent that's been older, like the 96 team, like the 2001 team. Those were older foundations. Joe Crispin, Titus Ivory, Jozzie Klein-Hurd, then back to 96. You had one redshirt freshman in Calvin Booth, but you had everybody, Gaudio, Secunda, Lisicki, Danny Earl. I mean, those were foundations of talent on those two particular teams. This has a foundation of talent in Watkins, Reeves, who's a sophomore, he'll be a junior, Carr and Stevens. That's a foundation that can grow. Now it's up to them to improve their games in the offseason and grow. Like Josh Reeves, for example, Randy, he needs to work on his right hand. He doesn't have to always go out there and do a lot with it, but enough to so that a couple of guys don't shade him two steps to his left hand and take it away.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Well, it's good talking with you, and we'll just hope for the best next year.
Great talking with you, Randy. Great points, by the way. Thank you. All right, 800-795-9565. I mean, good analysis by Randy, I thought. Very good analysis by Randy. It's great to talk with him and get his perspective on what he's been able to see. And obviously he made some, I thought, very keen observations. And, I thought there'd be a 15-18 game winner this year. They ended up at 15. Well, that's not the number. That's not really the number I thought. And again, if I had to pick a game that changed perception, because look, their last three road games, Penn State did not play well in any one of the final three road games they played. They did not play well at Nebraska, did not play well at Iowa, and did not play well at Minnesota. They kind of hung in at Minnesota, but it was a bit. So the last three road games, they didn't play well. At home, they played really well down the stretch. I mean, let's face it, the Purdue game, they did everything except finish the job and win the darn thing. Ohio State, last shot. So at home, yes, the last three road games, no, did not play well. Nebraska, I mentioned they had, 35 minutes of good offense, 5 minutes of mediocre offense, and 5 minutes of bad offense. Defensively, I thought they played well against Nebraska for 42 out of the 45 minutes. And I thought that was, that was the key to them winning the game was their defense. Yesterday, every wheel came off the wagon. But as Tom Izzo said, and he told Pat after the game, he says, look, that's the best game we've played all year. Well, that's not a good combination when they're playing their best game and you're not exactly having your greatest day. But, again, when Penn State, it reminded me yesterday so much of the Cincinnati game at Mohegan Sun. The day after they had played Duke. And it was really like watching a rerun of that game where they had, it's the only other time they played back to back. And against Cincinnati, it was a bad matchup and they flat out didn't have it. Cincinnati ran them out of the building. Well, back to back, and Michigan State did it to them yesterday. Again, it's another thing you're going to have to work on and improve on.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.